good to see you tonight. And tonight we're in Psalm 113. So please follow as I read Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. So tonight we begin to look at Psalm 113, and this is a very, very fitting psalm for tonight, which I'll explain in a moment. But one thing we see here, the psalm has no earthly author or title listed. Sometimes the psalm lists the author. Sometimes the psalm lists a title. Now, you may have a study Bible that has a title over it, but an actual title, and this one has none. But this psalm is the first of the Hallel psalms, and that word Hallel is the first part of the word hallelujah, which means praise, okay? So this is a psalm of praise. And the Hallel psalms are Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. And these are, again, are psalms sung which praise the Lord. Okay, so that first word, that first phrase, praise ye the Lord. In Hebrew, that's hallelujah. Okay, and well, I'm saying it like an American, though. But anyway, so this group of Hallel psalms was sung during the Passover. And Keith and Emily, can you move up to make room for the family, please? This group of Hallel psalms was sung during the Passover. The 113th and 114th psalms were sung at the beginning of the feast, and the 115th and 118th after the last cup had been taken. So this makes these psalms intensely interesting and important to us, because these were the songs which Jesus and his disciples sang just before the Garden of Gethsemane. Turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 30. Also, Mark 14, verse 26, it says exactly the same thing, but we're only going to look at Matthew 26, verse 30. And Matthew 26, verse 30 says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Okay? What was Israel's hymn book? The Psalms. Okay? And this psalm that we're looking at tonight, Psalm 113, is the first of those psalms, that those hymns that they would have sung. Psalm 113 through 114 would have been sung at the beginning of the Passover feast that night, and then Psalm 115 through 118. We'll get there eventually, but turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, look at verse 27. And remember, this is what Jesus and the disciples sang just before his trial. And notice the words of the song. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Jesus was singing a song about his own sacrifice. Isn't that awesome to think that? You know, we'll get into that when we get to Psalm 118. But Psalm 113 through 118 are known in the Jewish liturgy as the Egyptian Hallel, or just the Hallels, named for the reference to the Exodus from Egypt. Psalm 114, verse 1, when Israel went out of Egypt. Okay? So it commemorates the Passover. And so these are very important. The Egyptian Hallel is recited in the synagogue at the end of the morning service on the three pilgrimage festivals. Passover, okay? So this is sung during Passover. It's sung during Shavuot, which is what we would call Pentecost, okay? And also Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. So the three times that the nation of Israel needed to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, these were the songs that were sung, okay, during that time. And also in modern times, more so now, Hanukkah, these psalms have been incorporated over the years into the Passover Seder. Of course, there's no more pilgrimage for the Jewish people, okay? So these songs have been incorporated into the Passover Seder. These psalms, again, lack superscriptions and most, but not all, beginning or ending with Hallelujah, Praise the Lord. That note comes from the Jewish Study Bible. But I want to read something to you from Spurgeon's introduction to this psalm that really struck me in light of what we are, number one, still involved in, but coming to church today after 10 plus weeks, you know, and think of it kind of for us like the nation of Israel making a pilgrimage, right, to Jerusalem, being in the house of the Lord after not being there for so long, because they only went three times a year, you know, and I hope that doesn't happen with us, but, you know, after not being so long, isn't it great that tonight, when we come back for our first prayer meeting in 10 weeks, that this is the psalm we're looking at, the Hallel Psalm. So Spurgeon says this, "This psalm is one of pure praise and contains but little which requires exposition. A warm heart full of admiring of the Most High will best of all comprehend this sacred hymn. Its subject is the greatness and condescending goodness of the God of Israel, as exhibited in lifting up the needy from their low estate." Now, this is the part I want you to pay special close attention to. "It may fitly be sung by the church during a period of revival after it has long been minished and brought low." Isn't that interesting? Which, with this psalm begins the Hallel or Hallelujah of the Jews, which was sung at their solemn feast. We will therefore call it the commencement of the Hallel. So Psalm 113 through 118 make up the Hallel Psalms, and very important in the life of Judaism. Very important, of course, as we just read in the life of Jesus. These were psalms he would have sung. So the outline, I don't know if you copied the printed off the notes I sent out, but one of the things we're not supposed to do is hand out bulletins and outlines and stuff, so sorry about that. But verses 1 to 3, the name of the Lord is to be praised forever. Verses 4 to 6, the reasons for it. And verses 7 to 9, the supreme reason. So, Psalm 113, with 111, 112, and 113, although 111 and 12 are not part of the Hallel Psalms, they all begin with Hallelujah, but this one begins and ends with Hallelujah. And the three psalms are thus grouped together, and their theme is the praise of Jehovah. We saw already in Psalm 111 that we are to praise the Lord for his works. Okay, we saw in Psalm 112, praises him for his ways. But this psalm praises him simply for himself, for who he is. Okay, and I think sometimes that's a great way to start our prayers, or just pray a prayer of praise to God for who He is, you know, just for who He is. So notice the first stanza with me, 1-3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So the psalmist begins that the name of the Lord is to be praised by His servants. Now let's think of that today. We're His servants. We're the ones who know Him. We should be the ones who are praising Him. You know, we should be the ones that the world that doesn't know Him hears us praising. Praise God. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. And verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And His name is to be blessed or adored forever. When is a right time to praise the Lord? All the time, anytime. Is there ever a wrong time to praise the Lord? Never. So we should praise the Lord all the time, okay? A lot of times we just, maybe we get into the habit of, well, it's not Thanksgiving, you know, or, you know, it's not a praise service. I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a moment after the devotion to have some praises. But, you know, just praise Him. His name is to be blessed and adored forever. And verse 3, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. He's to be praised universally and everywhere. Everyone should be praising the Lord everywhere. And as we read that verse 3, the sun never sets upon the praise of God. Wasn't that a phrase at one time about England? The sun never sets on the empire, right? The English Empire. Well, the sun should never set on the praises of God. And, you know, when it's dark here, it's light in on the other side of the world. I remember when I went to the Philippines, the five times I was able to go, it was always kind of challenging trying to find times when I could communicate with Sandy because, you know, their night is our day. And so the best time we found was the end of my day and the beginning of her day. And we found some opportunity to communicate. But, you know, when the sun was up there, it was down here. So, you know, think about that. God's people are all over the world, and His name is always being praised. Even when we're sleeping, someone's awake on the other side of the world praising God. That's an awesome thought. The second stanza, verses 4-6. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? So, in this stanza, the reason for the praise is given. He is high above all nations. This talks about His exalted position. You know, He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. When, you know, you think the heavens declare the glory of God, but His glory is even above the heavens. And there is none like Him who has seated Himself on high, and He condescends to look down on the heaven and on the earth He created. Think about that. He is high above us, and He has to condescend to look down. This verse also reminds me so much of Philippians 2, where the Lord had to, you know, when it says He humbled Himself and became a servant. Think about the Lord, what he did when He left the glory of heaven. You know, He was God, not was, He is, God the Son, and He heard the praises of heaven every day, but He humbled Himself. He became a man. He became a servant. He became obedient unto death. And we thank and praise Him for that, because for that He deserves our praise. His position is higher than the heavens. His exaltation and His grace are the reason for His praise. So when we think about who He is, You know, there has never been a kingdom that can even compare one iota to God's kingdom. You know, I would think that probably Solomon's kingdom was, you know, the greatest kingdom on earth, but that is nothing compared to the Lord and his greatness. So look at with me the last stanza, verses 7 to 9. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with the princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. So in this third and this final stanza, the supreme reason is given for praising God, his grace towards all mankind. You know, think about God's grace that reached down and saved you and me, God's grace that doesn't destroy the world, even though it should be destroyed. You know, God's grace in caring for us, and God is a gracious God, and we live in what's called, biblical scholars call, the dispensation of grace. God is pouring out his grace upon the world, and that's the ultimate reason we should praise him for, because grace is getting what we don't deserve, and we don't deserve God's favor, but yet because he is gracious, he gives it to us. He raises up the broken ones from the dust and the needy from the trash heap in order to make them sit with the princes of his people. Think about that. Think about in God's sight how equal everybody is. You know, compared to God, we're all, he has to condescend to come to us, and he raises people up to sit with people in high places. And the supreme manifestation of his grace is that he makes even the barren to bear children and to be a joyful mother whose place in the home is therefore made secure. Now, we might not understand this so much today, but if you put yourself back, you know, some 4,000 years ago when this psalm was written, and to be a barren woman or a woman who could not have a child was not a good thing, because there was no such thing as Social Security. There was no such thing as life insurance. There was no such thing as welfare. Yes, there were ways, as we saw from the book of Ruth, you know, God had a workfare program where gleaning and whatnot, where people could go, but women, especially widows, they were very dependent in their old age, especially if their husband died. They were dependent on their family to care for them, and so, you know, in those days, a woman without children would be adrift in their old age, but a woman who was the mother of children had at least a place to stay and to be cared for. Think about that. Think about how much, you know, God cares for people. And he makes the barren woman, you know, have children and keep house. Such a marvelous God deserves praise forevermore in every place for all time. You know, and that's the theme of these next few Psalms, 113 through 118, praising God for what he has done. Such a marvelous God deserves praise from everyone in every place for all time. And I think, friends, that we probably should all praise God more than what we do. No wonder the psalmist ends the psalm just as he did in the beginning. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. So tonight, as we pray, may we remember how great the grace of our God is, and may we be among those servants of his who praise and bless his name. So I'd encourage you this week to read Psalm 114 once a day for the whole week. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then Alex will cut the tape. Then we'll have a time for you to have some praise and some prayer requests, and we'll pray together. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your exalted position. Thank you, Lord, for your condescending and humbling yourself and sending your Son to be our Savior. Oh, Lord, we praise you tonight for who you are. We praise you tonight for your marvelous grace. And may we always be among those servants of yours who praise and bless your name all the time in every place. Bless us tonight, Lord, as we pray. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.